The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
Well, the government on December announced it was cutting off the top-up for people on disability assistance in BC. That came at the same time as a BC recovery benefit left hundreds of thousands in a lineup waiting for paperwork and processing until the government just 3 weeks ago announced that people on disability and social assistance would not need to reprove their incomes. On Thursday, the 300 to Live campaign is holding a parade to end poverty downtown Vancouver, and they have an open letter they're asking people to send to the Ministry of Social Development demanding the reinstatement of the $300 supplement and other demands. Here is Keir Gray, an organizer with the 300 to Live campaign. Now, just after we conducted our interview with Keir yesterday, the BC government announced it was partially reversing its clawback of the benefit, saying that for more than 300,000 British Columbians on disability assistance, they would be topped up permanently by $175 a month. This effectively doesn't reverse the $300 pandemic top-up, but does reverse the cutback from the halfway point that they reached in December. It's the third increase in rates, the government said, since July of 2017, and it starts with April payments this coming month. As well, the senior supplement will be increased by $50 a month per person. But it's not deterring organizers with the 300 to Live campaign, who say that it is still far below the poverty level and needs of the community. All right, welcome to The Pulse on CFRO Care. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I know a lot of our listeners are on disability assistance of some sort, know somebody who is, or work in a sector that's trying to help people navigate the system. And I'm wondering if you can kind of introduce us, though, to what the basic issues are behind the 300 to Live campaign.
The 300 to Live campaign started, I would say, last spring. And it was near the beginning of the pandemic. People on assistance were waiting for a long time to see if there would be any increase. And there was. There was a $300 supplement, COVID supplement, that was introduced. And as soon as the disability and income assistant rates went up by $300, I started hearing all these stories, people who were finally able to afford the medication for their conditions, people who were able to eat the type of food that their doctor recommended that they eat, not having to choose between paying one bill or the other. And it became clear how crucial it was that the $300 be made permanent. So that's really how our campaign began. And at this point, we have three demands. One is that the $300 supplement become permanent. We are also wanting to increase the rates to the poverty line, which is at about $2,000 in Vancouver, and we're wanting that to be indexed to inflation. And we're also wanting to make sure that a portion of the increase specifically goes towards the shelter portion.
And one thing that strikes me is just how much this campaign and movement is led by folks with disabilities themselves. Could you talk about that and why that's important?
Yeah, I mean, I can say on a personal level, it's been wonderful to be organizing with other disabled people because we have boundaries and we respect them and we take turns doing the work. And sometimes we say no to things because we don't have the ability to do it at that time. And so it's been a really supportive environment in which to organize. I also think it's really important that disabled people are at the front of the pack in terms of talking about why we need to raise disability rates. We're the ones who know exactly what the current rates are doing to us. And I think I have been really touched by having the support of groups like the Poverty Reduction Coalition in order to make sure that, you know, as under-resourced as a tiny grassroots group like 300 to Live is, we've been flooded with all sorts of logistical, social, emotional support, and it's really made possible what we've pulled off.
Now, how does this $300 compare to our current disability rates? Because they were frozen for 16 years under the Liberals. The NDP lifted them slightly, but it never lifted to a level that people felt was a living wage. Well, actually, was not to a living wage, which is $21 an hour.
Yes, exactly. So the current disability assistance is $11.83. And when compared to the $2,000 that people on CERB got, and also $2,000 being the poverty line, that puts disabled people about $800 below the poverty line in Vancouver. So the $300 increase put disabled people about $500 below the poverty line in Vancouver. And of course, people on income assistance that much further below us. So it made a difference, but it's certainly not enough. I mean, the shelter rate is still $375. And if you can imagine trying to find a place to rent in Vancouver in 2021 for $375, you'll have an idea of what it's like to be on assistance.
I wanted to go back to that moment when the NDP government announced it was canceling this $300 a month top-up. They'd only had it in for a few months, since April, a month into the pandemic. How did you feel when you heard about that?
It was really devastating. The provincial government tried to argue that because they had a $500 benefit coming in December, that really it evened out for people on assistance, and really the math worked out, so we actually got $50 more. But I think it was clear to many people that as soon as the clawback began and the $300 shrunk to $150, that pretty soon it would shrink down to zero, regardless of how the government was trying to spin it. And that's exactly what's happened this coming month. The pandemic is over for people on assistance, according to the government, and the rates are going back to $760 for people on income assistance and $1183 for people on disability assistance.
As far as the latest case counts go, hospitalizations are on the rise. We're stuck at about 500 new cases every day, and we have these three variants that are increasing in our province.
Absolutely. Yeah, the pandemic certainly is not over for anyone who's paying attention. And it's hard, too, because disabled people, people in poverty, we are of all different ages, of course. So many of us aren't looking at getting vaccinated until the summertime. And we're trying to make do as if we're back to the rates before any of this began, which, let's be clear, the rates before the pandemic were not okay. People were struggling. People were engaging in survival sex work. People were doing what they needed to do to get by, getting evicted. I mean, it's a really desperate situation. We've been in a desperate situation for a very long time. And it's time for the government to take steps to end legislated poverty.
You mentioned the government sort of saying, well, this $500 individual recovery benefit would replace it. There are still hundreds of thousands of people waiting in the bureaucracy to try to get that. It was promised before Christmas. I know multiple people who had to wait over a month and a half because they had questions and had to submit a whole bunch of forms. And in fact, it took until a month ago for the government to realize they could just add it to existing assistance recipients' incomes, that they're already in the system.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, back in December, when this benefit was announced, there were nonprofits at that point saying, you don't have to make people on assistance do all this paperwork. You already know their income. This could be automated. And that only happened, I think, a couple weeks ago that it became automated. So people actually have been dealing with the clawback.
I mean, it just seems almost like an example of just how people aren't front of mind or even near the middle of mind for any government, no matter what party it is.
Yeah, and it also shows a huge misunderstanding about the barriers and obstacles that people in poverty face, because it's easy enough to say, oh, you need to send us this document and this document and this document. But when you have people who maybe can't afford internet at home, maybe they don't even have a home, there are so many barriers to some making a request like that when it's unnecessary for people on assistance because the government has all the information they need.
Yeah. So, I mean, how are people responding to this campaign to try to reinstate the $300 benefit?
It's been really heartwarming just how much support there has been for the 300 to Live campaign. I mean, we have over 11,000 signatures on our open letter. The city of Vancouver has endorsed making the 300 permanent. The Union of BC Indian Chiefs has also endorsed it. And I think most touching of all is disabled people or people with disabled loved ones who can see the difference that this increase made in their lives and who want to make sure that that continues. People who see no reason to force disabled people to remain in poverty.
I wanted to quote from the open letter from the campaign about the impacts of that $300, although it was below poverty line. It did help people to find healthy food and clothing, afford life-sustaining medication and therapy, avoid being forced to choose what bills to pay. Could you say more about that? Like, how important is this for things like health, well-being?
Yes, absolutely. We heard from parents who stop eating a week before the assistance payments come through so that their kids will be able to eat. We hear about people who are choosing between medications, all of which are necessary for their conditions. I mean, people who have to go to the food bank, they have all sorts of health conditions that the food bank is not able to meet. And so we have people whose health is actively deteriorating because they are not able to do what they know they need to do and what they want to do, what their doctor wants them to do to take care of their health. And so it really is this urgent. We're talking about people not starving at the end of the month before the check comes. We're talking about people having the proper medication for their conditions, people being able to get treatments. I wonder how many people know once you're on disability, there's so little coverage to get any type of medical treatment. And so you can be on disability and be receiving almost no care for your illnesses. And these are the types of changes that we saw. We saw people who were able to replace their runners that had holes in them and suddenly their back pain wasn't so bad. People who could buy pillows, things like this, you know, really basic, basic items.
And that would be a game changer, I imagine, for people who have chronic illnesses like diabetes and other things that require just constant supply of medications, supplies that aren't fully covered by PharmaCare.
Yes, absolutely. I think your average person might be shocked at just how expensive it is to be disabled and just how little coverage comes along with the PWD designation. And so that's, people are not only trying to cover rent and bills and internet and food, but they're also trying to cover medication. They're also trying to take care of their teeth and their eyes and their ears. They're also hoping to get to a physiotherapist to have some relief from their chronic pain. It's just not possible to take care of all of those needs on $1,100.
I remember way back when I first got into journalism, 2001 or two, I guess, after the BC Liberals first got in. And at that time, they, I guess, were convinced there was a lot of people taking advantage of the system. And they brought in this huge reapplication. Everybody had to reapply. And it was a very large form that nobody could really understand or navigate. It was kind of like a very complicated, like, if this is your case, go to 3B. If this is your case, go to 14. And it basically forced the entire nonprofit and civil society to help everybody fill them out to try to make sure nobody fell through the cracks. A lot of people criticize that as being cruel, unnecessarily suspicious of people who really need help and can't help their conditions. And it just seems like in a maybe smaller degree, we're kind of repeating the energy of that.
Yeah, well, I saw that one of the demands from the Poverty Reduction Coalition is a culture change at the Ministry of Social Development. And I think this is so important because the ministry doesn't tell the truth to people who call on in a consistent way. And it's really discouraging. It shouldn't be like that. People in their hour of need should know that if they call the ministry that's supposed to support them, that they'll get accurate information. And it is really discouraging to be treated with suspicion and derision when you really need help. And I really have to wonder, for people who think there are all these extra people on disability, like, have they seen the forms? It is so difficult to get on disability. It is so difficult. It's almost impossible unless you have an advocate. And many people don't have an advocate. I know Indigenous elders who have been turned down on disability who didn't have the connection to advocacy organizations that is required to navigate all of this paperwork. It's very difficult to get onto it.
It's just making people jump through hoops who already, you know, have limited energy and are spending a lot of that energy just getting by day to day.
Yes, absolutely.
So I understand there's an event coming up on Thursday. I don't need too many details about it, but could you kind of let our listeners know about when and where it is and what is this? It's a parade, I understand?
Yes. So it is called the Out of Poverty Parade, and it is happening on Thursday, March 18th at 12:30 p.m. It's at 625 Howe Street, which is at Howe and Dunsmuir. And it is in support of raising the rates. There will be some art. The theme is food insecurity. And I don't want to give away too much, but there are some, it'll be a thing to see. And there's also a second event happening.
All right.
Also on Thursday, March 18th, noon to 4 at the Victoria Legislature grounds. And this is another event that is in support of raising the rates. So I think they will both be very fun and colorful. And it will be really nice to come together and just put a face to how many people in this province support raising the rates.
I'm wondering, you know, about the coalition itself, if you could kind of talk about the coming together that has come into this campaign, because I know that you mentioned the Poverty Reduction Coalition. Union of BC Indian Chiefs put out a letter today demanding this and saying that it is disproportionately impacting Indigenous people, especially elders on disability assistance. What are the kind of groups that have rallied around this?
Yes, absolutely. So around this event specifically, it was a coming together of 300 to Live and the Downtown Eastside SRO Collective and the Community Action Network, part of the Poverty Reduction Coalition. And then on top of that, we have a whole bunch of community members who aren't affiliated with anything who are coming together. And it's been really incredible. A lot of us didn't even know each other before we started organizing back in January. And it feels really amazing to have all sorts of organizations be reposting our event, even if they're not directly involved. So it feels like we have a lot of momentum and there's a lot of hope that we've raised our voices enough to make some change here.
Thank you so much for sharing. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Kier?
Yes. If anyone has not yet signed our letter, we've set up a really simple letter sending tool so that you can send a letter in support of raising the rates to the Premier as well as the relevant ministers. So if you want to check us out on social media, you can find 300 to Live on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and that's where you can find a link to join our campaign and let your voice be heard.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and I Look forward to the parade on Thursday. We'll be covering that as well.
Excellent. I will see you there.
Thank you so much. And that was Kira Gray. They are an organizer with the 300 to Live campaign. And as mentioned before, just after this interview was recorded yesterday afternoon, the BC government turned course and reversed the half of its cut to the disability assistance. It will now permanently raise rates by $175 a month, but still far below the poverty line in Metro Vancouver. The Out of Poverty Parade to raise social assistance and disability rates is happening this Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's March 18th at the corner of Howe Street and Dunsmuir. It's at 625 Howe Street, the Ministry of Social Development. And again, that's 12:30 on Thursday. You can find them on Facebook at 300 to Live.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.